You are tuned in to 106.1 FM, WSCALP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. This is Steve Carrigan, and welcome to Local Folk, a program dedicated to the local folk music of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the people involved and the stories that they have to tell. Today, I have a wonderful guest. As we know, Portsmouth is a growing place and a growing community, and in order for it to grow, we have people moving in here all the time. And I think it's a really, really great thing. It keeps the community vibrant and wonderful. Today we have an immigrant, I guess you would say, perhaps, from Nashville, Tennessee. And his name is Jim Prendergast. I thought that he was really from Nashville, but apparently he is a citizen of the world. And we're going to get to that. I'm very excited to have him here. The more we talk, the more I can't wait for you to hear his story. By the way, before I do the weather, I would just like to thank Barbara Benn this week. I'm not sure if I'm going to thank somebody every week, but I'm definitely thanking somebody today, and that is Barbara Benn. She gave me feedback on my radio program that was very helpful to me. Now, she's a person of great wit and candor, but she also told me that she will never be on the show, but she'll always be a good person for feedback. Someday she might come on the show. Let's hope. Let's hope I can use the power of my bully pulpit here at WSCA to convince Barbara Benn to come on the show. So thank you, Barbara. Well, right on. This is Steve Carrigan. This is Local Folk. And with me here today is my guest, Jim Prendergast. I know him because A, I perform with him, and B, also, I've done some recording down at his excellent, excellent studio, Mill Pond Music Studio, right here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He specializes in recording folk music acts, but he really has it down to a science in terms of just about everything that he does. I know. Also, because I've done some voiceover work with him, we've done a cappella, we've done bands. He had a room that was rated as one of the best in the best new rooms in the country by Mix Magazine. I heard a set of drums in there, and I thought it was absolutely unbelievable. So, I play folk music with him. That's how I know him, and that's really what we're here to talk about: his journey throughout life that had brought him here to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He did immigrate in here. Now, normally I would start by talking with him and introducing, but I think I'm going to introduce him this time by actually playing a couple of his songs that he brought in. The Fox by Burl Ives and Greenland Whale Fisheries by Pete Seeger. We're going to talk about the significance of those when we get back.
Fox went out on a chilly night, prayed for the moon for to give him light, for he'd many a mile to go that night afore he reached the town. Oh, the town, oh, the town, oh, he'd many a mile to go that night afore he reached the town, oh. He ran till he came to a great big pen where the ducks and the geese were put therein. A couple of you will grease my chin afore I leave this town, oh, town, oh, town, oh. A couple of you will grease my chin before I leave this town, oh. He grabbed the gray goose by the neck, throwed a duck across his back. He didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all dangling down, oh, down, oh, down, oh. He didn't mind the quack, 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 and the legs all dangling down, oh. Then old Mother Flipper Flopper jumped out of bed. Out of the window she cocked her head, crying, John, John, the gray goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh, town, oh, town, oh. Crying, John, John, the gray goose is gone, and the fox is on the town, oh. Then Johnny went to the top of the hill, blowed his horn both loud and shrill. The fox, he said, I better flee with my kill, or they'll soon be on my trail. Oh, trail, oh, trail, oh. Fox, he said, I better flee with my kill, or they'll soon be on my trail. Oh. He ran till he came to his cozy den. There were the little ones, 8, 9, 10. They said, Daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town. Oh, town, oh, town, oh. They said, Daddy, better go back again, cause it must be a mighty fine town, oh. Then the fox and his wife, without any strife, cut up the goose with a fork and knife. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones. Oh, the bones, oh, the bones, oh. They never had such a supper in their life, and the little ones chewed on the bones, oh.
No more, no more, keen land. way they sang it up here. Was in 1863 of June the 13th day that our gallant ship her anchor weighed and for Greenland bore away. Brave boys, for Greenland bore away. Look out in the cross tree stood with a spyglass in his hand. There's a whale, there's a whale, there's a whale, fishy cries. She blows at every span. Brave boy, she blows at every span. Well, we struck that whale and the line paid out, but she made a blunder with her tail. The boat capsized and I lost my darling man, and we never caught that whale. Brave boys, we never caught that whale. Oh, Greenland is a dreadful place, a land that's never green, where there's ice and snow and the whale fishes blow, and daylight seldom seen. Brave boys, and daylight seldom seen.
Right on. That was Burl Ives with the Fox, and then Pete Seeger with the Greenland Whale Fisheries. This is Steve Kerrigan, and this is Local Folk, and I am finally going to get my guest, Jim Prendergast, to say a few words. But I'd like to tell him about the... talk about these songs. This first one here, the Burl Ives song, which, by the way, I think is an excellent song. Is the first song you ever learned on guitar?
It is. I didn't do a really good job of learning it on the guitar, but I was maybe 10 years old, something like that, and my dad had brought home a guitar. We were living in South Africa at the time, and he wanted to play, and he didn't do very well. I did a little better than he did, and I noticed that if you can do something slightly better than your father, it's a great incentive to stay with it. And I was completely enchanted and hooked into the world of folk music at that moment.
Yeah. How old were you then?
About 10. So this is, I guess I'll date myself. I'll freely date myself.
Okay,
it was
sure.
1958.
Yeah.
And but, you know, I was trying to teach myself. These days, if you want to learn to play and sing, everything's available. You can get lessons. Stuff's online, YouTube. You can get lessons. If you wanted to learn music, it was hard. And it wasn't until 3 years later or so, then living in France, when I became close friends with a guy named Mark Sullivan. I guess we were 13 years old.
Yeah.
And he taught me that Pete Seeger song, The Greenland Whale Fisheries.
Oh, I see. Actually, I have a question for you.
Yes.
So you learned this song, but were you surrounded by folk music, or did you just
happen to hear
this one?
Actually, not exactly. My father was a big music fan, but the thing that I heard most growing up, besides classical music, was New Orleans jazz, traditional jazz, and Chicago jazz, traditional jazz. My dad was very knowledgeable and had an amazing record collection.
And you weren't into that? You really dug the
Burl
Ives?
Oh, I liked that too. I loved it too. And I had been really excited at the age of, let's see, I guess I was 6 or 7 when Hound Dog came out. And boy, I was as, and that's kind of a subtext really for my whole life. I mean, I've always really liked rock and
Hound
roll.
Dog?
And,
Hound Dog is a subtext for your whole life.
Well,
wow.
the love of rock and roll.
Oh, I see.
I really have. I mean, besides all the other things that I've done in music, but I was really excited by the folk music thing. I was totally hooked.
Totally. I mean, well, you learn this stuff all over the world, and here you are listening to this in France, and then you have this friend in France. You happened to tell me about that earlier. You have this friend in France who's teaching you the Pete Seeger song.
Which he had learned from Pete Seeger. His family was friends with the Seeger family.
So was this a massive influence on you, this gentleman, or?
Yeah, I mean, I fell completely under his spell, and I learned everything he could teach me before he unfortunately moved away to England, probably no more than a year and a half later, but we spent many hours together playing music.
Was Pete Seeger popular in France?
Yeah, you know, sure, they've always loved things American, things that are sort of ethnic American things.
Were you mostly listening? Were you listening to a lot of French music, or were you happy to have these?
Although there were French versions of all the folk songs,
right?
Yeah, it was funny. But I was listening to things that everybody else was listening to.
Oh, okay.
Beatles and the Stones and Bob Dylan. That was another huge influence.
So then among all of those things, you meet this guy and he teaches you a Pete Seeger song, and that really spoke to you.
Oh, it did, yeah. And so it was that, and it was, things by Ramblin' Jack Elliott and Woody Guthrie and the Almanac Singers, the Weavers. Mark went on to have quite a nice career in England as a folk singer. Drifted out of the music business eventually, but quite an amazing instrumentalist in the style of those English guitar players who I was also very much in love with. Bert Yance, John Renbourn, Martin Carthy, Davy Graham, the great English players. And I used to go to the all-night folk club in London called Cousins or Les Cousins. And it was a wonderful place to hear music.
Boy, that sounds wonderful. You know, the more you talk, Jim, the more I realize that I really know nothing about music, which is nice, because I never claimed to know a lot about music. I know very little about it, but you named all of these artists that made me think, boy, I should probably find out who these people are and listen to them, because I really haven't at all. Of course, now I'm so involved in the folk music and learning that learning other artists.
Well, I did kind of drift away from folk music because I sort of backed into making music for a living. I didn't really have an intend to be a professional musician, but after I graduated from college and I really was kind of at loose ends, I started playing gigs and, I was making money playing music, so I just kind of stayed with it. And the early 70s, what was being played on the radio was not of any interest to me anymore. And that's when I sort of got interested in country music.
Well, see, this is what's interesting. You grew up around the world, but somehow you wound up in Nashville. And what I'm going to do actually is play a couple more songs.
Okay, go ahead. You can play do you have a few country things that turn me on to country music?
You know what? I think that I might have a little bit of country music here. Let's see if I can play it. It's actually closer to folk. I listened to this stuff before. It's actually closer
to folk music.
To folk than you would think. But let's give this a listen. Right now, we have a little Merle Haggard, San Antonio Rose.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, the song of old San Antonio, where in dreams I live with the memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as it blew up above. A moonlit path that only she would know still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all your splendor, know only my heart. Call back my rose, rose of San Antonio. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own broken song. Empty words I know still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit path by the Alamo and rose, my rose of San Antonio.
regret. Start this day like all the rest. First thing every morning that I do is start missing you. Some broken hearts never mend. Some memories never end. Some tears will never dry. My love for you will never die. In the night, a willing woman to hold me tight. But in the middle of love's embrace, I see your face. Some broken hearts never mend. Some memories never. Some tears will never dry. My love for you will never die. Some broken hearts never mend. Some memories never end. Some tears will never dry. My love for you will never die.
Jim.
Yeah.
Well, I should just say, this is Steve Carrigan. This is Local Folk is the name of the program that you're listening to. And I am in the studio right now with Jim Prendergast, who was just telling me about how he grew up with all this folk music, but then something, and apparently part of it was making a living, but something in these two songs that we just listened to really brought him in. Let's just talk about that. The San Antonio Rose, for example. I personally think that there are some similarities between this older country music, at least, and folk music, but I'm going to leave it to you to explain this.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of things about it that I liked. I mean, for one thing, it sort of harkened back to my early love for traditional jazz because they have those jazz elements in it. In fact, I was so hooked on the jazzy angle of it, I ended up studying jazz guitar for a while, which served me well in later years because I got a lot of little gigs playing jazz guitar at one point. Mm-hmm. And I got to say that, you know, my interest in music and the kinds of music that attracted me have all been sort of, it's all been wound together in this fact that it's been my living as well. So,
yes.
You know, I kind of drifted into the things that I could do pretty well. And in Nashville, you can be kind of a folky guitar player. Mm-hmm. And if you learn how to play in the Nashville style and fit into a recording session, you can work.
And
so the Don Williams thing to me, that's the second tune you played there, is a perfect example to me of the kind of music that I really loved in my and the kind of thing that sort of motivated me to become a part of the country music business.
Now you were telling me as we were listening to it just about the cleanness of it.
Yeah,
and, tell me more about what it is that you loved about that.
Well, for one thing, there's just any number of things. The songwriting is wonderful, wonderfully crafted stuff.
Yep.
And the players play with such a clean sort of simplicity. You know, you think, and it sort of sounds easy. Boy, it's quite a wake up call when you get into your first recording session. You think, oh yeah, I'm going to play a three chord, 3 minute country song with. And I'm just going to play, little country rhythm thing.
Yep.
And you realize very quickly, oh, this is not so easy. Not to play it in that nice, refined, musical way that people expect.
It's sort of like well, for me anyways, it's sort of like the difference between playing the drum slow and playing it fast.
Yeah.
Oh, this is slow. This is no problem. And then you realize, boy, it's a lot harder playing it slow sometimes than it is playing it fast.
Yeah.
But you were able to not just eke out a living, but, I mean, you were really prospered down there.
Well, yeah, it was fine. It was a very good – I was there for 30 years, and I moved there in 1980. And that song that I played there was, I think, a hit in 1980. That's what, I guess, it was sort of a crossroads moment for me. And, you know, one of my biggest goals when I moved to Nashville was to play with the great players that I had loved, that I was enjoying on the records.
Okay.
And for example, the great steel guitar player, Lloyd Green, who's on that record there. I ended up playing quite a bit with him, and it was an amazing experience, a great learning experience, constantly learning. Everyone, a great community of players, can't say enough about it.
Well, if they say that, what do they say about, oh boy, I just totally lost my thought. But I do have to say that you obviously learned quite a bit, and you obviously were listening really well, because before we actually get into the Irish music, I do just want to touch on one more thing that happened down in Nashville, just to showcase what it is that you really learned down there. I was amazed when I heard these things to begin with. Jim was hired by movie companies. Tell me just
Movies, television shows, and movies, mostly made for TV movies. Someone I know is a music editor, and it comes up in the course of making a movie or a television show that you want to use music that maybe you don't have the budget to pay the license for.
Okay.
You know? So let's say somebody wants to have a Hank Williams song in a movie, but they don't want to use, you know, 20 seconds of it, and they don't want to pay the heavy licensing fee.
Okay.
So I would get hired to write, arrange, produce, record songs that sounded like other songs, but that were not. So I had quite a few of these things placed over the years. It was really fun work, because it meant having to kind of analyze exactly what it was that made the songs tick, made the records tick, and use period instrumentation.
So it's sort of a tricks of the trade. It's a little bit like, well, it's like a tofurkey, but a lot better.
A lot better. You know, I brought in a couple of those things. You want to play that? There's one there that I actually did.
I'm going to play two, actually. I'm going to play, at least one. And if it looks like we have time, I'm going to play two. The first one is a la Hank Williams, I'm Gone. And the second one is a la Roy Orbison, Only Dreams.
And that Roy Orbison thing, by the way, was 24 hours from getting the call to having it arrive in L.A., written, produced, played, everything.
You may think that you're about to hear Hank Williams and Roy Orbison, but you are really hearing the musical genius of my guest here on Local Folk, Jim Prendergast.
So long. fuss and fight. Gonna find a new baby who'll treat me right. I'm gone. I'm gone. You're gonna miss your daddy when I say so long.
Promises and plans, but now they're only dreams, only dreams, and mine alone. Plans for you.
You are tuned into 106.1 FM, WSCA, LP, Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. This is Steve Kerrigan, and this is Local Folk. And we were just listening to, I wanted to talk about it so much. What we were just listening to is my guest, Jim Prendergast's take on two famous artists' work that he was hired to do as he was a recording engineer and writer and musician down in Nashville, Tennessee. He's up here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire now. He told us a little bit about those songs, but obviously something happened because you went from writing songs like this and actually having written, I believe, a song with, well, something to do with Garth Brooks, I'm sure, at least.
Actually, what got me into the recording business in Nashville was sort of back door. I wanted to be to start a music publishing company, and I had one writer, and he was writing with Garth Brooks. So I actually have the publishing on a couple of Garth Brooks songs, although unfortunately not ones that were ended up being recorded. So on half of them, on the co-writer's share of the publishing. That's another story.
Well, that's another story.
But I got uninterested in the publishing business and much more interested in the recording angle, so I kind of drifted out of that.
That recording is super cool. I just want to let everybody know also that Jim, since having left Nashville, has set up Mill Pond Music Studio here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It was just rated as one of the top music studios by new music studios by Mix Magazine. I've recorded there. A lot of folk people have recorded there. But as you can see, Jim can really do anything. But what I'm wondering now is what happened. We listened to some folk when you're early in your early childhood, and then we got into this country stuff, and next thing you know, you're writing these songs, and then now you something happened.
Yeah.
That
something
brought happened. You to the Irish music. Let's talk about that.
Something very definite happened, yes.
Something very definite happened. Definitely, what was it?
So when I came to Nashville, I had a gig playing in the pit orchestras with the Grand Ole Opry organization. They had a bunch of theaters shows and things, and I played in those bands. And as a result of that, I ended up doing corporate gigs, you know, just general business gigs at the Opryland Hotel. Mm-hmm. And a few, this is going back now to not that long ago, 2003.
Okay.
They opened an Irish pub at the Opryland Hotel. And I got a call from the woman who was the booker, and she said, Jim, you look like you could play Irish music.
Really? You were hired for your looks?
I don't know what she meant by that. You're old and, grizzly old man.
That's fantastic.
And so I said, well, sure, you know. And I thought, well, you know, I had done all kinds, I mean, really, all kinds of music. And so, Irish music, how hard can that be?
Sure.
And so I got a bunch of guys that could read, had a little acoustic group, and we took a copy of O'Neill's and played jigs and reels, reading them out of off the page. But it became quickly obvious to me that the people who liked Irish music weren't really – we were not playing it authentically at all.
Oh, is that
That's
right?
One thing. And the other thing is people started asking for songs.
Yes.
And some of the songs they asked for, things like Charlie on the MTA, which I had known when I was a kid, back in the Fox days and the Pete Seeger days and all. So I quickly discovered, hey, this is an outlet for that folk music that I've always loved, and I just kind of never sang it except around the house. You know, it had completely dropped out of my professional life.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too long before I had a pretty big repertoire of Irish songs and related folk songs. And then the other thing that happened is I managed to hire for the group a guy named Bill Verdier, who is in a town like Nashville full of great fiddle players. Bill is the one guy who is a really fine Irish music player, sort of the godfather of Irish music there. And actually, do you want to – I think I might have a little example
I think we definitely do.
Bill and I playing a jig set. Do you have that thing?
Yes, I do. In fact, I do. I have it queued up right now.
Okay.
I have three jigs. We're going to listen to three jigs. This was this – where was this recorded?
Actually, I did record this recently.
Okay.
Last year up here in Portsmouth, Bill came to visit. He's actually from up this way. Used to work for Green Linnet Records as a production guy.
Okay, but this is the style that you were playing down in
this
Nashville
is like the
at
set,
the Opryland
this
Hotel.
This is one of the sets we first started playing together, and Bill taught me a lot about how to accompany Irish music.
Yeah, let's give it a listen. Let's give it a listen.
Thank you.
You are listening to Local Folk. This is Steve Kerrigan, and I played two sets for you. I know I said I was only going to play one, but I played two. I played Martin Mass Time. I played I'm sorry, what did I play exactly?
You played a jig set with me and Bill Verdier, the Triptathlon and some others, and then a reel set, again with Bill Verdier, but augmented with David Coe and Skip Piper, Skip Clevenger, some of my Irish music cohorts in Nashville.
So here you are, an Irishman in Nashville. Yes. How was that? Did people look at you with your silly hat?
Well, they did think
hat?
They did think I had gone off the deep end. God, what has happened to Prendergast? But it was a real godsend to me because, well, for one thing, the country music industry. I mean,
This was just a few years
heart.
Ago. Yes, of course. By the time you were
strayed.
Playing, yeah, I was going to say, by the time you were playing this, we were Shania Twain, and
it had completely lost its appeal to me, frankly.
Okay.
I mean, I still worked in the, I did a lot of playing of the music, but it was no longer speaking to me. And you know, I was back full force into folk music and Irish music at this point, and it's a good thing too because. My wife and I wanted to move up here and to be close to our grandchild, and it was very nice to have. I was leaving behind a very vibrant music community, and it was absolutely wonderful to come to a vibrant folk music community. There's really nothing quite like. There's nothing like the press room.
Certainly not.
In Nashville, nothing remotely like it. We did have a little Irish session. Bill Verdier and Tim O'Brien and I ran a weekly Irish session, which I think is still going on. In Nashville, yeah. It's a good one. But nothing like the song session at the press room. And I got to say, I started visiting up here shortly after. It was not too long after I started discovering Irish music and rediscovering folk music. We started to visit.
Yep.
And it was absolutely incredible.
Yes. Well, tell me about that. Had you ever been to Portsmouth before?
Well, I walked in to a pub. Why did right. My daughter was living in Newmarket, and I was visiting after playing a fiddle festival with a guy named Craig Duncan in upstate New York. This is 2004, maybe, and walked into Quigley's Pub in Portsmouth and and met Rocky Rockwood, who still runs a session in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
And
in fact, he will be my guest next week.
Oh, great.
I just want to let everybody know. This
so that was my very first Irish session. Mm-hmm. I had started playing in the pub in Nashville, but I had never been to a session. And then on a subsequent visit, I met Dave Halliwell at Molly Malone's. And I first heard you sing at Molly Malone's.
Actually, yeah, you did tell me.
And Chris Vaughn. Chris Vaughn served me. I first met him. He recommended something from behind the bar.
I have a question. Did I understand you right when you said that you had never been to a session?
An Irish session where people play tunes.
Okay.
I had not done that yet at that time. Although, I started becoming a fiend. Although there weren't at that time, there was not an Irish session in Nashville. It took a few years before that to go. But every time I came up here, I started to seek out the sessions and got to know Roger Burridge, a great English fiddle player, and Junior Stevens from Maine.
Now, actually, you now have a session that you run
in Manchester. With Roger Burridge and Junior Stevens in Manchester, New Hampshire, on Saturday afternoons. Can I plug it? 3 to 6?
Yeah, go ahead.
3 to 6. It's a great little session. Very relaxed.
That's good.
And very not snobby.
Very not snobby. Very not. It's not in Portsmouth, of course, but that's okay. So you went from never having been to a session to running a session right here in New Hampshire.
I went crazy over Irish music and my rediscovery. I mean, I forgot about everything else.
This happens to people.
And
this
I learned. I started practicing guitar again after years of not really practicing. I'm playing a lot, but not really seriously practicing. So it was a huge sort of shot in the late life shot in the arm for me to get.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, but I'm very grateful for it.
I think I've had 4 shows. And yeah. All four people have told me that they just started to go crazy for this music.
Yeah, it is. It's something. And it's so great to, you know, you can be a grizzled old man and be a folk singer. So I love that part about it.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. So that's quite a transformation. And you came here and you set up shop.
Yeah, we moved here about a year and a half ago and set up the studio that I've always wanted, really. Kind of small-ish, but very acoustically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I love good old guitars, beautiful-sounding old vintage guitars, and I wanted to have a room that would do justice to my nice-sounding instruments.
You do have some nice sound. Speaking of guitars, I did just want to make a quick announcement, and that is that the person that's coming on next, LJ, is going to be hosting Under the Radar. That's the next program that's coming up. And he's doing a special show tonight just about guitars. I think the
songs about guitars.
Songs about guitars. They're either going to have guitar in the title or they're going to have guitar in them. That's, guitar played in them.
Well, presumably.
It'd be interesting to have a show about guitars where all the songs, no guitar.
No, yeah.
Just in the name, or just in the person's name or something. But it's going to be totally a very amazing show, hosting Under the Radar, a special show about guitars. And I should also just, since I've interrupted so thoroughly, I might as well just say that my show next week as well will have Mark Rockwood, a.k.a. Rocky, and he ran the show at Quigley's. He also runs a session at Rera, but there's so much more to it than that. Just like you and just like everybody that comes on the show, there is so much more. He ran an open mic for about 20 years, and he's going to talk a little bit about how that changed, and this is all coming up next week, and I'm very excited. Now, back to the point at hand, you're a guy who's made money and made a living making music.
Yes.
And that is a totally amazing thing. So you
catch,
I mean, it's totally amazing, especially in folk music, which we're still working on right now.
Yeah.
I will probably be a lifelong pursuit of mine to make a little dough, you know, at folk music. But so you go crazy for this music and then you put a little bit of a twist on it. You say, hey, I've got a great idea. I know all this Irish music, and I think I have a niche for it, and I think I'm going to make a CD about that niche.
Are you speaking about the lullaby niche by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Is that what you're thinking?
I am thinking of the niche of lullabies.
Uh-huh. Yes, I thought it was a brilliant idea to have play some of the beautiful Irish melodies instrumentally in a kind of a lullaby style. I still think it's a brilliant idea. I've slightly dropped the ball on marketing it, but I don't know. You want to?
Yeah,
are you thinking about playing?
Like to, I am really thinking about playing it either in just a moment or as we roll on out of here.
Okay.
We do have time to play it, and I would like to share it with people. I have a daughter, and she used to cry a lot in the car, and I used to want her to go to sleep. So I got myself a copy of this lullaby CD, and I just have to say that it's very, very worth listening to. But please, don't listen to it in the car, because you will fall asleep.
Yes.
Anybody listening right now, I need to warn you. Maybe I should say something like, wake up after
wake
the song,
up. Yeah, right.
Because we're still going to have a couple more minutes of the show after we listen to this.
Okay.
You've had your fair warning.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, listeners, time to wake up. You're all yawning out there, and normally I'd think that was a bad thing, but in this case, I'm going to say it's a really great thing. I wanted to say thank you to everyone listening, but especially thank you to Jim Prendergast, who has lived a life all over the world, has spent an entire career in Nashville, quite a successful career in Nashville, and then had sort of a change of heart, I guess you would say, at least, and made his way up here to Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He's now a big part of the wonderful folk scene and the folk music scene that we have up here. We're really happy to have him. He has Mill Pond Music Studio, like I said, one of Mix Magazine's top 10 new studios in the country. It was engineered by somebody here in
Actually,
Portsmouth
the same
as well.
Person who engineered this, Lou Clark from Portsmouth.
Lou Clark from Portsmouth.
He was my acoustical engineer and did an incredibly wonderful job.
Well, I know from experience that it's an excellent place to record. Also, you can see him sometimes down at the press room on a Friday night. He plays all over the place. Like I said before, we're really happy to have him, and we would just like to leave you with just one final song, and that is just to... We're going to listen to the final trawl. It's a bit of a parting song, actually.
It is.
But it has some significance to you.
Well, it's a song I learned here. I learned from Dave Halliwell, and Emery Hutchins does a nice version of it, and it's just one of the songs that sort of is... part of what's enchanting me about the music scene here now. It's my version.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to listen to the final trawl, and after that we're going to have LJ hosting Under the Radar. It's a special show all about songs with the guitar in the title or songs that are about a guitar itself. Thanks a lot for listening to Local Folk, and we will see you next week.
It's been 3 long years since we made her pay and sing haul away, my laddie-o. The owners say that she's had her day and sing haul away, my laddie-o. So stow your gear, lads, and batten down, and sing haul away, my laddie-o. I'll take the wheel and I'll turn her around, and sing haul away, my laddie-o. We'll join the venture, the morning star, and sing haul away, my laddie-o. Riding high and empty behind the barn, and sing haul away, my laddie-o. I'd rather beach her on Scary Rock and sing haul away, my laddie-o, than to see her torched on a breaker's dock and sing haul away, my laddie-o. And when I die, you can stow me down and sing haul away, my all away, my laddie-o. We'll make the haven and the fiddler's green.
Yeah, it's a couple of minutes past 8 o'clock, and that's Jim Prendergast. I'm going to start Under the Radar. LJ Delta here with you, with this being Martin Luther King Day. And my show is going to be about guitars. Here's another Jim, or Jimmy.